Hey, yo, it's brain, motherfucker. It's the truth and effect. I smoke blunts to the head till I'm snoozing in bed. Wake up, eat breakfast, and do it again. Built for tough, watch me as I move through the wind. They ain't getting paper, tell me what you doing with them, Dan. I've been him, diamonds on the wrist, compliment the grin. Obvious they pretend wearing them little gems. We smoke buds with little stems. Listen, you and your little men softer than oatmeal. Sweet talk, a bit of quick shit gets so real. I'm all that in a bag, aiming for the sky with a fully loaded mag. Gold coated for the flash, notice the pizzazz. I focus on the cash, it's a blast from the future. Leave you jokes in the past. It's brain live from NJ here to cramp up styles until they rubbing Bengay. So what your men say? Nothing. Before I backflip, I twist haze. Smoke the whole place out like a grenade. I'm the general of change. They leaning on the kid like a cane. Cause I'm understanding to the pain. Because I made a lane, I'm just speaking my piece. I need a house, suckers spending all they G's on fleece. I'm more champion, they broke wearing Givon Tree. I be on three, the one you can't see on beats, it's me.
They hate me cause they love me, bunch of Helga Pataki. You ain't New York to me unless you call hell from Pataki. Old soul cause I walk the walk a lot. You only known the city since it was a coffee spot. Knicks in the playoffs, you need me, I'm unavailable. The business scalable, they keep saying what so-and-so did. But yo, my shit is incomparable. I'm in rare air like the pair that I got on the neck of the game that I don't dare to move. I'm well off well-written parables of practice by Young Magic out of Hell's Kitchen. My interactions with these music cats all awkward. They make moves behind your back, off and Jamal Crawford. Half the time, it's like we care about who all talking more than who all playing. That's word to Shaq, EJ, Kenny, and Charles Barkley. We so busy talking about culture that we never make culture. The rappers gangsta come and go, that shit is peekaboo. Grew up around dudes, moved on principles, they Pokemon. So what I look like taking a Pikachu? I stay out the way and keep doing what I dream to do. Yeah. Most of their favorite legends, I'm the sequel to. Of their current faves, there's a decent few, but we talking elite and who? But I did my best. I'm done trying to preach it, dudes. I'm Frank if he never wore the chinchilla. I don't leave a clue. Shit. And now it's home court, wherever I step. You can't lift the weight I carry because you ain't did the rep. So these days, when I don't get the respect, it say more about who's giving than it do who accepts. Crap.
You are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. This is episode 250, and today is May 14th, 2026. Great episode in store for you today. But before we start on the episode, I want to give a shout out to a couple of listeners that left me feedback on Spotify. The first listener is a great listener, has been leaving feedback for me, and I really do appreciate it, and that's Gensha. And the other listener is SBR, those three letters. And the reason I appreciate it so much, I also would appreciate five-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do your podcast listening. The reason I'm so appreciative is I'm extremely shadow banned. I mean, I've spoken on it on different episodes, but like it's rare. It seems like the only way I can get feedback is through Spotify. Like everything else is sealed off. Like, and I know I sound paranoid, but I'm beginning to hear it more and more with other people. They gaslight you. They make it seem like, you know, your episodes are getting out and you're getting feedback. But I know a couple of listeners of mine have told me that, you know, they sent me numerous, you know, feedback and such, and you know, I never see it. As a matter of fact, there was a couple of platforms that I went on and I saw my interviews, my reviews rather, and I went back a couple of days later and it says zero reviews. So some websites say that I have 250 reviews, some say that I have 75 reviews. I don't know. Although RSS feed based podcasts, I don't want to get all technical, but RSS is a tricky little thing, I know, but it's crazy. Anyway, I don't want to sit here bellyache, but I really do appreciate feedback when it comes through to me because it just validates what I do. And To be very honest with you, from my side, a lot of times it seems like I'm just yelling out into the wilderness, and I don't even hear an echo come back. But I know it's out there because I know what my message is. I know what my authenticity is. And I do get feedback, you know, that does reach me at some point, sometimes, a couple of times a year. Just kind of sad, but whatever. And interestingly enough, I'm finding, and this is, has been like the past year, I'm seeing people on YouTube, and especially young people, speaking, and they're hitting every point that I bring up, point by point by point, as if I'm speaking it. It's like we're mirroring one another. And the speaker that we have today is one of those speakers. And his name is Jeff Franzen, and he's on YouTube. I think it's F-R-A-N-Z-E-N, I believe. Jeff Franzen. You Google it and you'll find it. Or YouTube it, rather. Like I said, I'm seeing a number of younger speakers coming on and people, you know, content creators, and I'm listening to their message, and it's very interdisciplinary. They're integrating different disciplines and aspects of life and philosophy and thought. And Jeff is also a huge fan of reading books. I know a couple of episodes back I put an episode of him speaking. So, I mean, it's great that I speak this stuff, but it's great to hear other people say the same stuff, because it just kind of triangulates where you are as far as your thinking and the path that you're following, you know what I mean? So we're going to get into Jeff, man. As far as politics and everything like that, I'm really going to bite my tongue, because there's so much going on in the world, and really what it comes down to, it's really fear. It's like they're dragging this whole war thing into this zone where it's just all fear, and there's a new virus coming out, and it's just nothing but fear. And to be honest with you, it's comical, and you get tired of it, like listening to the same stuff. So I've been like watching old TV series and doing projects around the house, because this is getting crazy. I will say one thing, we're coming into a really scarce time, man, because like I said, the petrodollar's crashing. You better save up some food, save up some rice, dry rice and beans and canned food. Canned food can be a real lifesaver, man. All you got to do is pop open that can. Make sure the cans are not dented and they're nice and sound, and keep them in a not too hot place. But that's instant survival right there. You open up that can and that's survival. That's food right there to save your life, you know. Buy some Spam, like canned meat, sardines. Stuff that's going to really last. That canned stuff really does last. So that makes the protein aspect of it kind of easy. Yeah, so enough on that subject. You know, I've spoken on that in the past. Those of you who are new listening to me or have listened to a couple episodes, go back. Go way back into my episodes, man. This is episode 250. But I do get comments occasionally, especially when I used to get a lot of comments. Well, one main thing that I used to notice, especially when I first put my podcast out, I think in 2018, I think it was my first episode, I believe, right around there. At that point in time, I forgot who I was with, but you can see your downloads and you can see the IP addresses where they were coming from. You're like your listeners. You can't do that anymore. It's illegal now. But I can remember going in to my downloads. At that point, I was getting like 150 listens a day. But I would notice that I would get a hit on an IP. In other words, a person would download like, you know, 14 of my episodes. Like you could see they were hit. So obviously he's downloading them because they're one after the other. You could see the time that he started to stream it. So like obviously he's downloading like a dozen episodes. So obviously people see, and this is going back when I first started. So I'm sure that there are people out there that do go back and listen to my older episodes, but again, I highly recommend it, because you're going to get gems on certain episodes, the little things that I say, and people tell me that also, you'll get really sparked from something that I say or a little talk that I do, and it never comes up again, you know, because it's just the way I process information. I just do it stream of consciousness, and I just rip off, you know, the moment that I'm in, kind of like a Zen thing, so kind of like a Tao thing. So go back and listen to some of my older episodes. Give me a 5-star review. Reach out to me. Give me feedback on my show. It's always appreciated. I have a Telegram. I have everything. If you go to my Instagram, which is Alpha Male Buddhist, you will see I have a link tree on there, and that link tree has all of my different platforms. I have an Instagram, I have a Twitter. I actually do have a YouTube too, but which has been taken down about 5 or 6 times. So I have a lot out there. Go check it out. Give me some good feedback. Let's listen to Jeff here. Really great episode. And this young man is going to get your brain engaged, man, because he just hits you one after the next with just knowledge. Tremendous, man. For such a young person, man, his mind is sharp, man. Very razor sharp. So let's get into the episode. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Merciful, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the earth. I want to thank him, and I want to shout out to all my Christian brothers and sisters out there. Keep up the faith and keep proclaiming the word of Jesus on this planet, because it's sorely needed in these days. While my voice is going. So again, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and let's get into this episode 250. Let's go.
Your 20s are perhaps the most important years of your life. It is a decade where you try and fail, where notoriously people feel lost and unsure about what they want to do in their life. And all of that, I think, is good and part of it. But this video, I want to talk about the 10 ways that you could really mess up your 20s that can hurt you down the line. And I think the most obvious one that people most likely think of is you don't want to accidentally have a kid with some random girl that's not planned. You know, that kind of goes without saying here. I want to talk about 10 active decisions that you're doing on a consistent basis throughout your 20s. And the first one has to be waiting to feel ready, right? Because most people tend to delay everything in life because they feel like they need to wait until they're confident and then they can start. But that's not how life works. You try something, you're completely unsure of what you're doing, you learn from that failure, and then you just continue. You move forward, right? And you do this over and over again to where slowly but surely your confidence builds, and so does your skill set along with it. And a lot of people, I feel like, their 20s disappear while they're in this sort of preparing phase, right? There's a passage in the Bible that I love that says, the farmer that waits to cultivate his crops until the perfect season will never plant a seed. It's so true. I've experienced this in even like smaller pursuits that I've done in my life. I'm sure you know the same thing to be true in your experience, but you can waste years of your life overthinking very simple decisions. You just need to don't overthink it, just act and learn after. The second biggest thing, and this is really relatively new, do not live your life mainly online. Social media will create this illusion of progress, you know, and an illusion of connection. You think that you are, you know, a part of a community just because you can go online and, you know, find people that have similar interests as you. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but you need to have, there needs to be scarcity involved. Like, you can't always be online on these sub forums or, you know, scrolling and thinking that you're a part of whatever it is, because that is not real life. There's something that I've talked about on my channel before called success porn. And success porn is essentially where you are constantly consuming various types of media that makes you feel like you're going out there and you're working hard. Like, maybe it's a Creed edit, or you're watching a video of David Goggins and he's like, you know, whatever like cringy thing that he sort of says. I don't hate on David Goggins, but you know, whatever like motivational thing that he's saying, it gets you amped, it gets you going. You see somebody that's doing something with their life and trying something hard, and you get literal dopamine rushes from watching someone else do something almost as if you're doing it yourself. Do not live entirely online. Many people, they know how to perform a personality, but they don't know how to live without it, or like they don't know how to live like that without a screen. So, you know, maybe online they're like super knowledgeable and they're good at talking and yada, yada, yada. But then in real life, these people are not walking the walk. It's kind of like those dudes that give advice about maybe like dating a woman, but then in real life, they never actually go out and do anything because talk is cheap online. So yeah, do not stay online. Number three, this is a huge one. Staying around people who kill your energy. These are the negative Nancys. Your environment shapes your standards. And so negative, lazy, you know, sort of cynical people normalize mediocrity, and then you're going to fall into line with that. Now, I've also talked about this before, where I think that what you consume online is perhaps more important than the people that you hang out with, because the average person spends more time online scrolling than they do with their friends. So I think these go one in the same. That kind of goes back with the previous point that I made about living entirely online. You need to be very specific and have standards when it comes to who you're going to spend your time with, because some friendships are just mutual stagnation. And what I mean by mutual stagnation is, like, you live a certain life and maybe you don't feel so good about it, but if someone else lives that same life, then both of you guys are going to be like, well, we're in this together, and that sort of makes me feel good enough to just keep this up. You want what's called the Michelangelo effect. The Michelangelo effect is when you believe in that person, they believe in you, and you both uplift each other, and you're both being positive, and it's overall a net growth for both of you. You're both challenging each other, right? These, I call them energy vampires. There are people that literally have nothing going for them, and like I said before, they're cynical, they're negative, they're lazy. They just are trying to consume your energy because they lack it themselves, and these people will take you down. This is especially true with significant others. If you're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you need to make sure that this person is positive and uplifting and believes in you, and you believe in them, and that, you know, you're both fruitful to each other. This is very, very important. Another thing I think, my fourth point that's so important, is one of the biggest mistakes is that people never question the life that they were told to want. So you have been conditioned by society, by your family, what's normal in your culture, to, as far as like what career should you pursue, what's the type of life you want to live, right? Do you want to go to school, get an internship, then get a 9-to-5 and try to grow the, or, you know, climb up the corporate ladder? Do you want to go to school, but maybe you're not the smartest, or like that's just not your thing, and so you go into trades and you sort of try to build a business? You have to strip yourself of all the conditioning that you've been told and that's basically been ingrained in you through the school system and through everything else, and ask yourself, what do I really want out of life? Because, you know, it was, I believe it was Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller was the founder of the Board of Education, and he is literally quoted saying, I'm in the business of building workers, not thinkers. School is designed to just breed like employees that are just like submissive to the system. You know, they just go along with what they're told. And so you have to question yourself. I recommend reading Nietzsche. I think he's probably one of the best philosophers for this, although many, many philosophers talk about this idea. But Nietzsche like asks you, not just as it relates to what you're doing with your life, but also your morals, like what you believe in. You might have heard of the Übermensch, which is Nietzsche's idea of, you know, someone who self-authors their morals and like what they want to do with their life. You know, you need to ask yourself, do I want this thing, or do I want other people to see me have it? Or do I want this thing, or am I just told to want this? You like actually ask yourself this question and be very serious with yourself, because if you just sort of go with the flow, which is the path of least resistance, and no one's going to judge you for it, you might look back when you're 50 and be like, dude, I wish I would have tried at something that I was really passionate about. I think this is such a big issue. You know, you can achieve everything that society told you, and you can still want and still feel empty. There's a book that I recommend. It's a short story. You could read it in like one or two sittings. It's called The Death of Ivan Illich, if I'm pronouncing his last name right. But it's by Leo Tolstoy, one of the greatest Russian classic authors of all time. But this book is about this guy who is kind of on his deathbed, and he has to come to terms with his life. And by society standards, you know, he lived a good life. He made money, he contributed to society. But at the end of the day, he's like realizing that he did not live the life that he wanted to live at all. And so because of this, you know, he felt regret. And it was very hard for him to come to terms with death and facing this idea of dying in the life that he lived. And so you have to truly question now while you're still young. Even if you're 40 years old, I still want you to question. Even if you're 50 years old, I still want you to question this, because how do you know where you're going, right? The fifth biggest mistake is, I see this one way too often, especially this happens a lot in colleges, like kids that are entering their early 20s, right? It's building your identity around validation, right? Trying to look successful becomes more important than actually becoming successful. Trying to look like you enjoy your life is more important than actually enjoying your life. I made a video about this yesterday, but so many people are obsessed with the aesthetics of things, with the status or like appearing as cool or nonchalant. But at the end of the day, when their head touches that pillow, they're sitting there like, man, I'm not really satisfied. I'm not really fulfilled. I don't actually like my life. But their Instagram feed is curated with everything they could possibly want. Do not fall victim to this trap. I beg you. I beg you. The coolest people I've ever met are the ones that oftentimes don't have any social media, or they do, they don't post on it. They're not trying to prove to anyone anything. They just live, right? So when you build your identity around validation, what happens is you become a slave to the opinions of others. You can't actually operate with how you truly want. Also, you can never be your full, truest version of yourself, because whenever you are yourself, naturally, you're not going to fit in with the crowd, because the crowd is just full of a bunch of fake people. So they're going to despise you for being real. And this just creates a recurring cycle where you feel rejected. And yeah, it sucks. So don't build your identity around validation. Start making decisions not for approval, but instead for meaning. Like, actually think about the ROI of what you're doing. Am I going to feel better because of this, or am I not? You know, the sixth biggest mistake, is making comfort your main goal. It's weird. I feel like society is turning into this like two polar opposites of the spectrum, right? Where the average person either has to make a choice between, do I want like maximum comfort? I'm going to eat junk food, you know, body positivity. I can look however I want. And it's just what makes me feel good in the moment. Or is it the other end, which is like the extreme, like gym bro, hustle culture bro, like go 100% into self-improvement. And that's also a form of slavery, because you become a slave to the improvement itself. These things are both losing games, but I think comfort is becoming increasingly more popular, because what it have, it feels safe when you just want to feel comfortable. You know, you'll take the corporate job because at least it pays the bills enough to where it's like, hey, rent's going to be paid for, food's going to be paid for, life is going to be all right. But, you know, avoiding difficulty, what I've recognized for myself, at least, I can't talk on everyone's behalf, but it creates anxiety, not peace, right? You start to get really uptight about very small things. You start to freak out about going to the airport because you're like, oh my gosh, what if it doesn't go this way? But the people that constantly are pushing themselves out of their comfort zone, that's a cakewalk. That's a walk in the park. So your 20s are probably the best time, I would argue, to go out and take a risk, because your responsibilities are so much smaller. Like, you don't have any real responsibilities in life, and you're just sort of, you're free, right? So you got to take those risks, because you're also not a teenager where you still have to go to school, and you still like are sort of these more formative years of your life where you're trying to figure out what you're going to be, you know, pursuing in your 20s. Although that question doesn't even get answered while you're in your 20s, but like these kids that are still going through school and stuff, you can't take as much risk. But once you're out of school and you can sort of do what you want with your life, boom, that's where, in my opinion, you just have the best opportunity to take risk. The seventh biggest mistake, treating your body like garbage. Okay, take care of your body. Control what you are consuming and your output. Right. And this isn't just talking about the gym and junk food. It's also like sleep deprivation. It's also, you know, not moving in general, constant stimulation. I think it's important to take care of your body, because people act like health only matters when you're older. But really, your health as an older person is largely contingent upon how you treated yourself through your, you know, 20s up until, you know, maybe like 50s, 60s. Right. Like, how are you treating your body every day? Your mental state becomes heavily tied to your physical condition. If you understand this, you understand that, you know, you have to go out and put in effort and like try things, you know. Energy is one of the most underrated advantages in life. It's this is how it works, and I know this is going to make no sense, but this has been my experience. The more effort I give, the more I get. The more that I'm trying and like every day and going out and doing stuff, the more energy I have to do things. But in periods of time in my life where I haven't been doing anything with my day, I don't go out with friends, I would hardly go to the gym, or, you know, I've had these periods of time in my life, and every one small thing becomes so much harder, bro. It becomes like 10 times harder just to like go and finish a project for school when I'm not doing all these things. But then when I'm really busy, when I feel like I have so much stuff I'm doing out and about during the day, and then all I have is like maybe like 1 or 2 hours at the end of the day, it's like I can knock out like 20 homework assignments back to back to back. And it's so much easier, right? So it's about momentum. And so understand that with energy. The eighth biggest issue that I see people run into is you don't learn how to be alone. You don't learn how to live without distractions or without, you know, friends. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I've mastered this, guys. I think I've actually gone in too deep with this. But learning how to be alone is so important because it teaches you who you truly are, you know, void of all of these external influences. Your friends, the content you consume, all that stuff, I consider that company. Like, even though if you're not in the company of a person physically, you can be with them online and that still is going to shape your mentality. But if you can just meditate, if you can just sit with your thoughts for 30 minutes, an hour a day, if you can just have the balls to face yourself and the issues that are going on in your life, you will be so much better for it. You know, people act like relationships, substances, entertainment, all of that stuff is just part of life, which to some extent they're right. But they think that it's normal and that because of it, you don't have to force yourself to be alone because there's such a negative connotation or narrative around an isolated person, like, oh, they're not going to be healthy. But really, that's where you fortify your mind. That's where you establish like your true identity is by yourself. And I've been really privileged to spend a lot of time alone, and maybe too much to the point where that's like also caused me some mental health issues. But at the end of the day, when I go out and I do things, I know who I am more so than the average person, because the average person has just been does whatever the five people that they hang out with most do. And they never like thought of things. You know, maybe they just went to school, joined a frat, and then they don't think twice. They just become like their sorority sisters or their fraternity brothers. They're not actually thinking. Being alone and being lonely are not the same thing. You can be alone and not feel lonely, okay? This is true. The ninth mistake that I see a lot of people make is thinking that you have unlimited time. Right? In reality, would you rather travel in your 50s or in your 30s? You'd probably rather travel in your 30s, which means you're going to have to work hard in your 20s to really enjoy things. One of the biggest lies I see so many people say is, you have so much time, just go out and try a bunch of different things because you have so much time, you can fail. Well, I agree with going out and trying different things, but you don't have time because I don't even, like literally think about it like this. Women can't really have kids beyond kind of like 35 to 40 range. And so if you want to have kids, that's a big step in your life. It's like you have to get things figured out sooner versus later. And so you don't really have time. But even if you don't want to have kids, it's like life is so much more enjoyable while you're young, while you have less responsibilities, while you are physically capable of like moving around doing these things. And also you just have, like, I feel like young people have a better ability to handle the ups and downs of life because that's just like part of what it is to be young. Whereas when you're older, you know, events can have much more major psychological implications on you. So yeah, don't think that, give yourself a narrative in your head that, oh my gosh, I have unlimited time, because you don't. Your 20s quietly build the trajectory of your 30s, 40s, and so on. So there's a quote that I really like that says, you don't figure out what people did in their 20s until they're 30. Meaning like things compound over time. So your 20s are going to matter and you're going to see the results of your 20s once you hit 30. You know, small daily choices compound massively over time. It's the law of accumulation. The small things that are shown up every day do matter. And the 10th biggest regret that I see people have, or the 10th biggest mistake I see people make, is they just avoid meaningful work, right? If you hate your job, if you just constantly hate what you're doing, your life is going to be unfulfilling. Many people love to chase easy dopamine instead of difficult purpose. Like they like to go out to the bars, they drink, they vape, they do, you know, various indulgent behaviors that are hedonistic, and they're not addressing meaning. And really what this is a distraction from facing themselves. But if you just face yourself and then you figure out what you want, it allows you to then pursue something more meaningful in your life. Deep work, of course, is going to feel harder now because, you know, everyone's attention span is damaged. But at the end of the day, that the harder the work, the more meaningful it becomes. Fulfillment usually comes from mastery and not comfort. So, you know, creating something meaningful is going to give your life structure. There are obviously many other things, but I hope you guys got something important out of this video. And if you want to support me, definitely check out my new app, My Future Self. I think you guys will really like it. Thank you for watching.